Good morning, church. Good morning. Great to see everybody this morning. Lots of great fellowship going on. I'm going to have to interrupt that. I'm sorry. We need to get started. I want to read some from Psalm 92. And the psalmist said, "It is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High, proclaiming your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night, to the music of the 10-string lyre and the melody of the harp." We don't have a 10-string lyre this morning or a harp, but we have 2 6-string guitars, a piano, a drum, set of drums, a bass, and a keyboard, and some vocalists. And it's good to praise the Lord and to make music to Him. Amen? It's good to do that. He goes on to say, For you make me glad by your deeds, Lord. I sing for joy at what your hands have done. How great are your works, Lord. How profound your thoughts. You, Lord, are forever exalted." God's doing some good stuff in our fellowship, among a lot of other churches. We had a family join this morning during the early service. I also baptized the wife of that family this morning. Good stuff. We celebrated communion. This service, we're going to have another family join. We're going to celebrate communion as well. And then we're going to honor the seniors that are graduating. It's just a good day, church, a good day to be together. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this day. And Lord, anytime we're together in your presence, it's a good day. And so, Father, we just give you the thanks for what you're doing, the way you're stirring hearts in this fellowship, the way you're stirring hearts across this city and across this state and across this nation this morning. Oh, Father, would you reveal yourself to us in deep and profound ways? Would you minister to our hearts, Holy Spirit, the needs that we brought into this place? And God, may we leave this place changed in Jesus' name. We just thank you so much for your goodness and your kindness and your grace and your mercy. And we just love you for who you are. And again, in Jesus' name, we pray, and all God's people said, amen. If you're able to stand and worship the Lord together.
Lord, this morning with this church, the people who are filled by the Holy Spirit of God, may we share that love with each other, and let's lift up high His name.
Your mercy follows.
Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ a round of applause this morning. Amen, amen. You may be seated. Children, hold on where you are for a second.
Yeah, not yet. Not yet, kids.
Not yet.
Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, everybody sounding good out there. Glad you're here with us. Want to invite the marshals to come on up. Duke/Robert. And Shannon. So, Duke and Shannon come today to join our church. Got to give a little history. Duke and I worked several walks to Emmaus back in the 90s. We were young, strapping bucks back in those days, weren't we? Yeah. And I gotta brag a little bit on Duke. They lived here. Y'all were members of Wiley Methodist Church, and y'all were the first wedding in this sanctuary, in this building, right? And then they moved, and when my brother had his accident in 2000, and our family drove to Lubbock, Duke met me at the hospital. I walked in, and there's Duke. I don't even know how he found out, but it was an awesome thing. So they've returned back to Abilene. Duke is the CEO at Hendrick Home for Children, and Shannon is a teacher in the Abilene ISD. had been a principal, and maybe someday might be a principal again. You never know. And so we welcome them back into our fellowship. You're both believers in Jesus Christ. You have been baptized, and we receive that. I ask you again, just is Jesus still your Lord and Savior? And will you be loyal to this church with your prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness? Amen. We welcome you back to our church. Don't let this family leave without welcoming them today. Y'all may be seated. Children. Carlene, Teresa, wake up over there. Y'all will come and meet Miss Teresa and Miss Carlene over here.
Good morning. As Billy said this morning, first off, if you don't know either of us, my name is Brent Aiken. I'm the youth pastor here, and this is Sean. I'm my associate youth pastor. And so we are going to celebrate the seniors that we have graduating this year as well. And with seniors, I believe that's one of the moments that we can all remember in our lives, that one moment of celebration where we feel like we're done with school just to go back to do more school. But it is this moment of victory, this moment of like, I accomplished this, I've done it, and we're grateful to celebrate that with all of you this morning. And so our seniors are here today, most of them, and we might acknowledge one or two that aren't able to be here today. But as I call your name, I would ask you and your family to come up, and family, just stand around. You're a senior. And there might be a lot of people up here in just a little bit. So, first off, we have Miss Chloe Robinson. Next, we have Miss Fallon Avery. Mr. Daniel Duke. Hey. And then Mr. Ashton Bacon. We also know of two other seniors, and I am not aware if they are here today or not, but we are going to recognize them as well. We also have Miss Allie Parrish and Mr. Brendan Hernandez. And just to make sure, are there any other seniors that we failed to mention that are present? Because we'd love to honor you as well. That's always one of the fun things with Senior Sunday is, with a church, you have such a connectional reach that, yeah, family. Okay, see, he looked like a senior, so we were just going to give him a Bible anyways. All right, so these are the four that were here this morning. I would encourage you that if you would like to during this time, if you would like to come up and surround each of these families, you're more than welcome to as we pray for them. But we're going to pray not only for their success that they have achieved as far as graduating high school, but also pray for the journey ahead, as it might be school, it might be going into the workforce, it might be continuing education in another method. We just want to pray that our church family does our job and does our due diligence of being there to be there for them and walk alongside them as a church. But then we also want to cover them in God's love and God's grace as they in this chapter of their lives and move forward. So will you pray with me? Y'all can come forward. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for you this morning. We are thankful for the fact that we get to come together in this place. We get to come together not only to welcome new people into our congregation, God, but we get to celebrate some students that have been in our congregation for a while. We thank you for the journey and the victories that they've had, whether it be achievements through academics or extracurriculars or sports or just achievements at home with their families, God. We thank you for the time that they've had with us, and God, I pray that our journey is not done. I pray that we as a church body can come together and be here as a witness to them as they walk along their journey with you. But God, specifically, I pray for special favor for these seniors, God. I pray for just an undeniable showing of your love and your mercy towards these seniors as they finish up high school, prepare for this summer, and then move on to their college in the fall. God, as college is a big and exciting thing, I just pray that you will give them boldness to live for you. I pray that you will give them courage to step out when they hear something wrong. And God, I pray that you will give them just a willingness to serve you wherever their journey takes them. God, I specifically just pray over the colleges that are going to receive these students. God, allow your feet, allow your Holy Spirit to journey over those campuses before they even touch foot on those campuses. We thank you for the families that have had such an impact on these students. And God, I pray that this is just another opportunity for togetherness, for collectiveness. And God, we just pray that your Spirit blesses these families as they all get to celebrate this achievement and this occasion in their lives. We thank you for your love. We thank you for the constant reminder of your promises. We thank you for just the passion that hopefully you put inside all of us to spread your news, spread your word, that we have no life without you. I just pray that we continue to love like you instructed us, and I pray that you continue to teach us through the teachings that you have in your sacred word and that you taught to your disciples, especially as we recite the prayer that you taught your disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, and forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As we enter this next time of worship, our offering plates are up here on the kneeling rail. You can come put your tithe in the offering plates, or you can give electronically by following the directions on the screen.
As we come here this morning as the redeemed people of God, we celebrate Christ in his death, in his burial, and his resurrection. And so in Christ, every end is a new beginning. And I don't know if your week maybe it was a great week, or maybe you really struggled this week. But through Christ, you're called to a new beginning. So this morning, I invite you to view this moment as the beginning of your week. For the mercies of the Lord are new every day. And so in this moment, if you struggle this week, take it to the cross and then allow the Holy Spirit of God to resurrect you into what he's forming us into. As Jeff says, we become what we already are. And the Holy Spirit does that inside of us. And we know that Jesus is a way maker. He's a way maker. So this morning, the good news is, no matter what you've done, that there is a way to be in the living presence of our living God through His Holy Spirit. Invite Him to move in your heart this morning.
In the darkness, my God, that is light up. A mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, a mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. Oh, the overwhelming, a never-ending, breathless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, bites in a lifetime, leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it, still you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, breathless love of God.
Good morning again. Anybody feeling the Holy Spirit here this morning? Man, I'm love that. Love that. Nothing better than that. If you are our guest this morning, I really hope that not only do you feel the Spirit, but also I hope that you feel the love of Christ and the love of His people in this place. There is a card in the seat pocket in front of you that says guest, has a blue stripe. Would love for you to fill that out. You certainly don't have to do that, but at the end of the service, I'll be out at this end of the foyer and would love to meet you and have a free gift for our guests and hope you will come out and we can get to know each other a little bit. Turn with me to Joshua chapter 3. Joshua chapter 3. Beginning in verse 1. Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Lord, Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests who are Levites carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 1,000 yards between you and the ark. Do not go near it. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Joshua said to the priests, take up the ark of the covenant and pass on ahead of the people. So they took it up and went ahead of them. And the Lord said to Joshua, today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel so that they know that I am with you as I was with Moses. Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan's waters, go and stand in the river. Joshua said to the Israelites, come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that the living God is among you and that he will certainly drive out before you the Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, Girgashites, Amorites, Jebusites, and all them other sites. Oh, that's not in there. I apologize. Verse 11. See, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and of all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you. Now then, choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. And as soon as the priests who carry the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap. Wouldn't you like to see that? So when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan is at flood stage all during the harvest. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the Ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stops flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan. While the water flowing down to the Sea of Arabah, the salt sea was completely cut off. So the people crossed over opposite Jericho. The priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground. Not muddy ground, dry ground. In the middle of the Jordan while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. We have invited you and we know you're here. We ask you now, Holy Spirit, to speak. Speak in power and authority and transform our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. So today's message is entering the promised land, entering the promised land. So I want to kind of set this passage up that we started there. And a few months ago, two or three months ago, I preached on Joshua 1. And four times in Joshua 1, as this transition, change is happening, this transition from Moses to Joshua, four times God says to them, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. So God had promised this promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And if you really kind of unpack what does that mean, it's not literally milk and honey. What he's talking about is a land of God's abundant, unbounded blessing. Now, this had been promised by God, and it had been referred to, that the land of milk and honey had been referred to 21 times in God's Word. 21 times God's promise is told over and over again. Moses had taken this the people of Israel, and God had used him to bring them out of bondage, out of slavery, and they found themselves in the desert for 40 years. I made this point in the early service that had the people come out of Egypt, and had they been obedient, they would have gone right into the land flowing with milk and honey. I mean, there wouldn't have been this 40-year toiling in the desert. But fear, that's important. Is this on? Anybody listening? Fear, which is sin, delayed them. They end up finding themselves toiling for 40 years in the desert. Moses himself had sinned and he had died, and so the torch was being passed to Joshua. And again, God is saying, you know, I know that there's unknown out there. I know that there is uncertainty out there. But be strong and courageous, because I've promised. That's why they call it promised land. God had promised this land of abundant blessing, this land of milk and honey, flowing in milk and honey. In fact, it's interesting. Joshua had actually, before God had helped them cross the Jordan, that, again, Scripture tells us, was at flood capacity this time of year. It wasn't just this little, you know, like Cat Claw Creek. I was raised by Cat Claw Creek, you know. We used to fish for crawdads, but it wasn't that. I mean, this was a giant river up at flood capacity, and even before God had crossed them, Joshua was sending spies over into Jericho to see what they were going to do next. Once God fulfilled the promise where they entered in to this promised land, this land of abundant blessing, he was already making plans for what would happen next. So we find ourselves in this story. Joshua's at the river's edge. He sees the promised land across the river, and he doesn't know how he's going to get there. And even when he gets there, he knows there's uncertainty, and perhaps fear could overtake them. Anybody else ever been at that moment in their life where it's like, I don't know what the future holds? There's this uncertainty. There's perhaps even fear when we don't completely trust the Lord. It's a time of change. So we can see that in our personal lives, but church, I'm here to tell you, we're seeing it in our denomination. We'll talk more about that at the meeting after church today. We're seeing it in our culture. Y'all have heard me, you get tired of hearing my expression, but I'm telling you, some of the stuff that we're even talking about in our culture, some of the things that you read, it makes my head want to explode. I mean, it's like, what? Why are we even talking about this? I mean, you're kidding me, really? We're in this time of change and uncertainty, but God has promised a land flowing with milk and honey. For his people, he's promised to walk with us. So, how do we do it? How do we enter into this promised land, this land flowing with milk and honey? How do we do it? First thing, I believe that we are to trust the Lord and wait for his instructions. You know, in Joshua, this chapter we just read, verse 2, says that the officers went throughout the camp giving orders to the people. So they were telling them how to line up, and they were telling them how to position themselves and what to do, that the 12 priests were to lead. And guess what? That Ark of the Covenant, in this moment in God's story, God resided in the Ark of the Covenant. I mean, that was God himself leading into this promised land. Do we hear that? You hear what I'm saying? God was at the forefront. So, How do we hear instructions? How does God speak to us? If we're supposed to trust him and wait for instructions, how does he do that? How do we hear? How do we know? And the first thing I want us to hear is we read God's word. God will, I said this at the early service, and I am passionate about this. God will never tell us to do anything that contradicts his word. If you're thinking about making a decision, whatever that decision might be, if it contradicts God's word, that's not God's voice you're hearing. So we must understand that and believe. Is this the inspired word of God? I say this all the time. Is this the inspired word of God, or is it not? If it is, what does it say? About everything, about any decision that we're making. What does it say? How does it? God will lead us with his word. So again, please know if there's anything going on in your life that you're thinking about doing, decisions that you're thinking about making, if it contradicts God's word, it's not from God. Secondly, God speaks to us not only through his word, but through the Holy Spirit. Now, here's what we have to understand is if we believe this is God's word, God's word tells us that this was inspired by the Holy Spirit. This is not just the writings of men that wanted to try to, some seminaries will teach that this was just a bunch of hairy-legged old white men trying to control the everybody else. You probably never heard that phrase in a sermon before, have you? That it was men trying to control people, and so they wrote what they wanted to. Well, so if, oh man, don't get me started on that. But if they put things in here that made them look good and gave them control, why does it talk about Peter denying Jesus? Man, I don't think Peter would have loved to have had that in there. Why does it talk about, you know, Saul? He's breathing murderous threats to the church. That stuff wouldn't be in there. God, this is inspired by the Holy Spirit. One of my good seminary professors helped me to see this. He said he believed that the Word of God was twice inspired, was his phrase. Once when it was written and once when we read it. Open it up and say, Lord, show me through the power of your Spirit. Open my mind and my heart to your Word, to your will. Show me what you would have for me. And never, God will never contradict his Word. So, how does God speak to us? Through his Word, through his Holy Spirit. I believe he also, and this, it gets a little bit more dicey down here, but through godly wisdom of others. Again, I think God puts people in our lives, and look for those mentors in your life that you trust their walk. But even then, they can fail you as well. If it contradicts God's Word, it's not godly wisdom. But seek those people in your life. Sometimes God will speak through others. Also, just that we have this spiritual discernment. Some people would call that conscience, but I believe that the Holy Spirit will give us discernment. It's like, no, that, you know, I shared this in the early service. I've talked about this before, but when I was making the transition from the computer world to ministry some 20-something years ago, fear was beginning to overtake me because things weren't rolling out like I thought they were, and I ended up taking another computer job, which I had walked away from a really good one about a year and a half earlier. Ended up, you know, I'm sitting here going, Lord, I got bills to pay. I got stuff here. And so out of fear, I took that job, and I tell Cheryl and I laugh every time I pass that bank. I say, I worked there for a day. Because literally I worked for a day, and I came home, and this is Greek, but follow me here. I know it's complicated, but we felt yucky. I'm pretty sure that's Greek. But I came home, and I think it was the Holy Spirit giving us discernment. It's like, this isn't what I have for y'all. What are you doing? I thought you trusted me. So God can speak to us through his Word, through his Spirit, through spiritual discernment, and even through the godly counsel of others. How do we enter God's promised land? Secondly, we prepare ourselves for God's holy purpose. There's in verse 5 of our passage today, Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Don't you just love that? And that consecration, we don't really use that word that often, but consecration, to set something aside, to make it holy and set aside for sacred purposes. I believe God is saying to us through this story in Joshua that prepare yourselves, be in pursuit of holiness, because I'm going to do amazing things. Just watch what I do, but you need to be prepared. You need to consecrate yourselves. I don't know why this came up in the early service, but I'll tell y'all. When our girls were little, I don't know how we did this, but we convinced them that we had this nasty old, like it was like about a 5-foot by 3-foot rug. Jordan's going, I remember the rug. And every time, you know, we'd order pizza, and then come around, can we eat on the rug? And Cheryl like, well, I don't know. Okay, you can eat on the rug, you know. And it was nasty. I mean, it had pizza stains all over it, and it was nasty and stuff. And you know, paper plates and pizza on the rug. That's the way rednecks do it, right there. And But I promise you, if we had some important friends or someone coming over, we weren't going to use paper plates on the rug. I don't, men, we have no idea. I know all the men are going to agree with me on it. We have no idea why, but women love fine china. Yes? I mean, they love when they think that something, this is an important meal, this is a sacred meal, this is very special time, we're going to whoop out the china. And to me, that just means those sturdier paper plates. But we do. In our pantry, we got the cheap ones where you can buy 5,000 for $10. And that's our go-to plate. And then we got the ones where you can kind of hold it on the edge and it doesn't collapse. And those are our fine china. Y'all are laughing because y'all do too. I know every one of you. But God is saying, consecrate yourselves. Be prepared. We need to be spiritually prepared to walk with the Lord and to see what He's going to do, the amazing things He's going to do through us and in us and around us. Third thing, if we want to enter God's promised land, we must take the first small step because God is with you. You know, can you imagine? I mean, this passage we read today, can you imagine these, you know, God said, okay, priest, you get the Ark of the Covenant, which is me. I'm going before you. You go and you stand right at the edge of the river, and then you got this raging river. And he's like, okay, now all together, step. And can you imagine just the faith it took just to take that step? And so, verse 8, tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan's waters, go and stand in the river. And I mean, right there is where I'd be going, say what? Go and stand in the river, it says. And then verse 13, as soon as the priests who carry the Ark of the Lord, God's presence, set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap. Verse 17, the priests who carried the Ark. So God's telling what's going to happen. 17, the verse, the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm, I love it, on dry ground. It wasn't muddy. They didn't bog down to their knees. They stood firm on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan while all Israel passed by. And we're not talking about, you know, 100 people. I don't know how many there were, but there was a bunch. All of Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. You know, y'all heard the expression, just get your feet wet, which basically means get started in something. I believe you can trace it all the way back to this moment. The priests are standing beside the Jordan River, and God is saying, just get your feet wet. Just step in and watch what I do. So this time that we have before us, I believe God is saying, you know, just wait on me. Trust me. Wait on me. Prepare yourself. Consecrate yourselves, and then just step, because I'm trustworthy. And I mentioned this. I've mentioned it several times. But you know, those years when I worked at the bank one day, those years where. Fear, that was the danger for Cheryl and I, was fear overtaking us and not trusting Him. But God had told us, He had promised us a promised land, that yes, there will be a church. And we didn't know how or when, but you guys, I've said this many times, you guys are the fulfillment of God's promise in our lives. God just said, just trust me. Step in, trust me, and watch what I do. And then finally, the last point I want to make, number four, to enter the promised land, then God wants us to remember and celebrate what He's done for us. Remember and celebrate. You know, if you go on and read the first few verses of chapter 4 of Joshua, after God had already parted the Red Sea, I mean, He had already been showing off, And then he stood up, the waters of the Jordan in a heap and allowed them to pass over on dry ground. So the, now they're in this promised land that, that they've been waiting on, that God had promised. And then here's what God said and through Joshua. Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe. And he said to them, "Go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take a stone on his shoulder to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, 'What do these stones mean?' tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever." Man, God wants us to step out in faith and trust Him, and then He wants us to remember and celebrate what He has done in our lives. And I try to do that with y'all. That's why I say those things often, is that man, sometimes just trust in Him. When He has promised us something, we trust Him. He always comes through. Now for the Israelites, it took a while. From Abraham all the way to Joshua, it took a while for that to all come to fruition. But God has a plan. He knows what He's doing, and we just have to trust Him. God wants us to remember His faithfulness. As we talk about that word remember, think about it. When Jesus instituted this meal, He took the bread. And it's interesting, this was the Passover meal, and they had been doing the Passover meal since the Exodus from Egypt. They had been remembering God delivering them from captivity. But Jesus said, "Okay, I'm changing the script. Yes, I delivered you from captivity from the Egyptians, but He was going to deliver us from so much more. This new meal that He was preparing for us, He was going to deliver us from sin and death." And so He took the bread and he broke it, and He said, "This is My body broken for you. Remember, when you partake, remember what I've done." A standing stone. And then He took the cup. And this had, in the past, this had been in remembrance of that Passover lamb, when they would partake of that cup. And Jesus said, "Well, I'm the new Passover lamb. I'm the eternal Passover lamb." And He said, He blessed the cup, and he said, "When you drink of this cup, it's the cup of the new covenant established in My blood. Remember, when you partake of this, remember, standing stone." So Christ our Lord invites to this table all who love Him and who repent of their sin. You do not have to be a member of our church. You are welcome to partake. If Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, you repent of your sins, you are welcome to this table. We don't come as a perfect people. We come as a forgiven and redeemed people. Someone a few years ago said something to me that I don't feel worthy. And I was like, good for you. Join the club. We are not worthy except through the blood of Christ to partake of this meal. So if you would, in your own heart, just pray your own personal and private prayer of confession. Father, thank You for this bread and for this cup. May they be for us the body and blood of Christ. May they be sacred. May they be holy. May they be consecrated before You. Church, in the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Amen. If our servers will come forward to receive. Christ our Lord invites you to his table. You do not have to be a member of our church, but you also do not have to partake. That's up to you. These two stations here and these two stations here, you'll be given a piece of bread. You dip the bread into the juice and partake in that manner. If you'd like the individual elements, you can come to the center station, receive those, and if you would, go ahead and receive those and go straight back. There's a trash can at the back, and open it back there so that we can keep that line moving. Christ loves you. He has invited you to his table. Come.
Cars and highways.
Facing change, church. Be strong and courageous. I want to remind you that we'll have a meeting. We'll give everybody a chance to visit a little bit and take a quick restroom break, and then we'll be meeting in here. There will also be some people available for prayer if you would like prayer. And I will be out in the foyer. We'd love to meet our guests. Be strong and courageous, church. The Lord walks with you. Walks before you. Go and tell someone. We are dismissed. God bless you. This is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior and wash me as white as snow. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also, I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus himself set the example for us by being baptized himself, and he encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.